For all those that are visiting with us this morning, I would like for you to know that you are honored guests. We pray and trust that something here this morning that will be mentioned, spoken, talked about, or the thought that is given will provoke you to think and come back and be with us once again to worship in the house of the Lord. I'd like to thank all of our brothers and sisters here at Bush Hills for coming out to support me this morning. I don't have a two-hour sermon prepared. Right now, standing 2 hours, we can't do that. So I got my little trusty stool right here. So if you see me coming around sitting down like we're going to have a fireside chat, don't worry about it. Because sometimes when Jesus did his preaching, they sat down. You know, it's nothing written that you have to stand behind a podium to preach. There's nothing written that says you have to stand up over everyone to be preached. I mean, but we do that so the voices will carry better. If you have your training guide with you this morning, if you have your shield with you this morning, if you have your weapon with you this morning, I ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. The chapter is 27, verse number 1. Afterwards, we will read until in your hearings, John chapter 9 and verse number 4. After which, we'll give you our theological thought for the day. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 1, the wise man Solomon wrote, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In John chapter 9, verse number 4, an even wiser man said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, and no man can work. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Because when it is night, no man can work. From these two passages, I want to talk to you for a short period of time from the subject, waiting is not an option, but a blessing. Waiting is not an option, but a blessing. I went to the American Standard Dictionary and looked up a couple of words. The first one being option. It says that the word option means the power or right of choosing, the freedom of choice. The truth about God is that he has given us an option. In other words, God has always allowed us to choose, to make a choice, to make a decision. That's why he didn't intervene in the Garden of Eden when Satan was there talking with Eve. He allowed her to make her own choice. Today, even this day, God allows all of you and me to make our own decisions, make our own choices. There are a few examples of some choices that I would like to share with you this morning from the Testaments, from the Old and New Testament. The first one, Brother Damien, is Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse number 19. The second one is Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through 15. The third one is Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And I will give you time to get there. Waiting is not an option, but a blessing. Many of us make choices on a day-by-day basis. We choose to either go to work or stay at home. We choose to either eat fruit or we choose to eat fat back. I know y'all don't know nothing about that. We choose to lay in bed all day or we choose to clean up the house. God allows us to make these choices. We have been studying Israel in the wilderness and the choices that they have had to make, and to really understand and realize that God is able to support the choices that we make. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, read so eloquently in our hearing by Brother Wynn this morning, it tells us, Brother Damien, if you're there.
I call heaven and earth to record this day against you.
Moses said, I call both heaven and earth to bear record against you, because these elements are listening to the things that I am telling you, which came from the mouth of God. Read.
That I have set before you life and death.
God said through Moses, I have set before you both life and death.
Blessing and cursing.
Blessings and curses.
Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live.
Moses said, God said, now, it's up to you to make the choice for both you and your household. Because whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not, you as a parent or head of household, your family is looking at what you do. The choices you make, the decisions that you make. God told Israel, I set before you this day blessings and curses. God sets before each and every one of us this day both blessings and curses. He sets before us this day both life and death. It is up to us to make the choice. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Moses has now gone off the scene, passed the torch on to Joshua, a more than capable leader. And at the beginning, he was just like Moses, saying, I cannot take this task. Sometimes we don't have a choice in the matter. And by the end of this sermon, I hope you see that there are some things we just don't have a choice in the matter about. Joshua chapter 24, beginning with verse number 14, Brother Hillary.
Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth.
Joshua says to the children of Israel, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and truth. You know, there are a lot of ways we can serve God. But Jesus said while he was on this earth, God seeks those to serve him in spirit and in truth. As Joshua says, in sincerity and in truth. Read.
And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood.
Put away all those things that hinder you from truly serving the most magnificent and wonderful God. All those false gods, all those idols, all those things that hold you back from really serving God. All those excuses that you have today that's holding you back from honestly and sincerely serving God. Bury them. Cast them aside. Read.
And in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord.
Serve God.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve.
Now listen to that. Going back to Sunday school, Joshua was now telling the children of Israel something that they faced when they were at Canaan getting ready to go over into the promised land to take it. He says, choose you this day. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to do evil. When they got ready to go over to the promised land, they had a choice to make. Serve God, go into the land and take it, or choose evil. They chose evil. They had what we call the grasshopper complex. They felt so small in their own sight and in the sight of the people of Canaan that they didn't believe that they could take the land. But Jesus said when he walked this earth, with men, it may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Read, Brother Hillary.
Choose you this day whom ye will serve.
Joshua said, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. It seems like Jesus is on the same page with all these old prophets. That just simply tells me that the Bible is true. God is the same yesterday, right here today, and 100 years after we are gone, God is still going to be the same. And we're going to have the same choices and options that Moses, the children of Israel, and Joshua had in their day. We're going to have it this day. To choose to serve God or not to serve him. Read.
Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell.
He said, now, you can either serve the true and living God, or you can serve false gods. I remember, we're going to run to Acts next, Brother Hillary. I remember when the prophet was facing the 400 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Baal were calling out to Baal to send down fire from heaven to light these logs and burn them up. They called and they called and they called, and they had no answer. When you serve a false god, when you put your trust and your hope in something that cannot save you, when it's time for salvation, it will not be there. If you put your trust in your house, when your house catches on fire, don't stand inside of it because your house won't save you. That's just putting it plain. If you put your trust in your money that you have in the bank, when you go to the bank and they say they have closed their doors because the president and the CEO had run off with all the money, what are you going to do? Will that empty bank account save you from the bill collectors? No, ma'am, and no, sir. I remember growing up, I heard a story on the radio. I think it was on Jasper Rovich's program. My grandmama used to love to listen to him every morning. Bishop Jasper Rovich was his program. And one of the things that he would always talk about is options. And in those options, we could either choose the right way or choose the wrong way. And, you know, it's still going on. You know, some people just don't realize. I was talking with my wife yesterday morning, and she said, the reason why people are so challenged today is because there are so many different things pulling at them in so many different ways. I took her back to Solomon. I said, Phyllis, Solomon, a long time ago, what 3,000 years ago, searched out to try everything that he could try. Solomon had 300 wives. 300 wives. Lord, help me with my one. I'm not saying she's a problem, but one is all I need. But not only did he have 300 wives, he had 600 women on the side. That's all you call them. They called them concubines back then. Solomon said, I have searched high and low, far and wide, near and close. And out of all the things that I found in this world, there is nothing new under the sun. You know what? There's just a different way of doing it now than they did it then. Say amen if you can. He said, well, they didn't face all those drugs back then. Yes, they did. If the Bible had not talked about pharmacia or witchcraft, they wouldn't know anything about drugs. How do you think Simon the Sorcerer controlled his people? Where do you think voodoo and hoodoo come from? That's just not something they made up. That's something that's been around a long time. You say, well, they didn't have video games back there to keep the children occupied. Well, the children may not have been occupied by video games, but they had something else to occupy them to keep them from wanting to worship in the house of God. There is nothing new under the sun. Acts 5, chapter verses 1 and 4, verses 1 through 4. We can either serve false gods or we can serve the one true and living God. It's up to you.
But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And right. After it was sold, was it not in thine own power?
All right. Look at that. Ananias and Sapphira had got caught up because Barnabas had sold some land, must have been a pretty nice penny, and after he had sold it, he brought it to the apostles and laid it at their feet. And it was such a tremendous outpouring, a tremendous thank you must have been given, praise offered. You know, sometimes, if you choose to please man rather than God, you have your blessing. You have your reward. Ananias said, now, I want my pat on the back. He chose to sell some land. And you know, God gives us power to make decisions. Peter said, now, Ananias, when you sold this land was under your power, in your control. You could do whatever you wanted to do with it. So now why did you decide to lie to God? Lie to the Holy Spirit. You could have just as well chose to give half and chose to keep half and say, here's the half that I'm going to give to the church, and would have been fine. We have a lot of problems when it comes to giving. Today, we make wrong choices. We feel like, I got to pay my bills, so I got to hold back part of this money. I can't put it all in church. You must choose, because the Bible tells us, give not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. But before he even said that, he said, give as you prosper, as you decide within yourself. A lot of people want to go with this tenth. We're supposed to give a tenth. But God says, decide within yourself what you want to give. Then give it. And be glad you gave it. Be happy about it. Don't say, well, I'm putting this money in church, but I sure can't use it. May as well keep it in your pocket. What does the next verse say, Brother Damien?
Forgot. For verse number 4. Yeah. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own?
He said it was yours.
After it was sold, was it not in thine own power?
It was in your power.
Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
God has given us power to make choices. God has given children the power to make a choice to obey their parents or not obey their parents. But you will suffer the consequences from the choices that you make, even children. The Bible says this is the first promise that God has made to mankind. He said, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. For you will receive long life in the land. Now, if you don't obey your parents, if you don't respect your parents, don't expect long life. The Bible also tells us we have a choice not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I know when people talk about that, they want to cut it off at a certain point. But it's your choice. You make the decisions when assembling is right and when it's not. Sunday morning Bible study. You have a choice to come out or stay at home. Worship service, you have a choice to come out or stay at home. During the service, when it's time to sing, you have a choice. We have a choice to sing or sit there, text, write notes, chew bubble gum and daydream, nod off to sleep, think about what we're going to pick, plan for dinner. It's your choice. When it comes to prayer, it's your choice. You can pray or just keep right on moving. When it comes to gospel meetings, y'all didn't know I was going there. Husbands, love your wives. Or you can love that chick you got on the side. Or that fabulous babe that's on TV. Wives, reverence. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that now. It says reverence your husbands. Your husbands. Not somebody else's. Not that hunk you see on the TV. Not that young man that's outside working in the yard without his shirt on, muscles all buzzing. I don't have to say anything. You know something? God made males and he made females. We don't have a choice there. But you know where we do have a choice? We have a choice to whether we're going to be a she-male or a he-male. But now, you must suffer the consequences of your choice. And like Brother Moss said, Brother Peter had a good example of consequences, that which come after. Waiting is not an option. When you look at the American Dictionary, it says that waiting means to remain inactive or stay in one spot until something anticipated happens. When we wait, we assume that we have power over something that we don't. Some reasons why people wait. Young. I'm young. I can wait until I'm older before I really get involved in church. I either become a member of the church. I look at Brother Wyatt up there. He's 60 years old, so I'm just 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 25, 30. I can wait till I'm about 55. Not ready to commit. I'll wait until I'm in a better position. The best position you can ever be in is with God. Now, why are you waiting? Well, because of what others may think. So I'm going to wait till one Sunday when, so-and-so is not here, and then I'm going to walk down the aisle. Don't let your buddies in this world be your buddies in hell. And here's a good one. I already go to church. So what's the difference? So I'm going to wait until they show me why I should change. What they are all saying, what all these reasons are being said, they're waiting for the right moment. However, waiting is comprised of something which does not belong to us. We do not have power over it. You know what that's called? It's called time. Time doesn't belong to us. And that was an old song back in the 60s that said, time waits for no one. It keeps moving on somehow. When I looked at waiting, it said, when you're waiting, it's just time spent doing nothing. That's really what all it is. Time spent doing absolutely nothing. Tell you a little something about who owns time. David said about God in Psalms 50:10, the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to God. Then he backs up in chapter 24 and verse 1 of Psalms. He says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Meaning that everything in this world belongs to God. Over in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, one day to God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. What you saying, Peter? Time is owned by God, so it doesn't matter to him about time. I do with it as I please. Going back to old David, a man after all God's own heart, he said, Lord, your years shall have no end. The old prophet Habakkuk, in Habakkuk 1:12, he said, Lord, art thou from everlasting? Didn't you come from way back, way back, way back, way back when? But on the other hand, for us, for you and I, you and me, God said, I might let you have 70 years. And on the other hand, I might let you have 80. But the bottom line is, it is appointed unto man once to die. James says it so simple. He says, our life is like a vapor. Ever had your cup of coffee, a cup of tea, a cup of hot chocolate, and that steam be rising, and before you know it, it's gone? That's just like our life. If we own time, we can stop it. We could be like Jack Benny and never reach age 39. Just stay there for the rest of our lives. But we can't do that. Time belongs to God. But waiting is a blessing. Because we don't own time, waiting is a blessing. Brother Hillary, get for me Exodus 34 and verse 6 and 7. Isaiah says in chapter 40 and 31, you've heard this so many times, they that wait on the Lord has a blessing in store. What did he say? He said, they will renew their strength. Psalms 105, David says that, wait on God. Why? Because he's waiting on you. His mercy is everlasting. All mercy is God waiting. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7.
And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed.
The Lord passed by Moses and proclaimed this to Moses.
The Lord God.
The Lord God.
Merciful and gracious.
Merciful and gracious.
Long suffering.
You see, God has more patience than any of us. It doesn't say he just will suffer. He said he has enduring patience, enduring waiting power. Read.
And abundant in goodness and truth.
He's abundant in goodness and truth. And because God is so good, he gives us weight. We just don't wait on our own. God gives us weight. Read.
Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.
That's it. Look at that. He said forgiving thousands. Don't you want to be in that number? When the saints go marching in, God is waiting on you today. He's blessed you with this day. You know, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because he knew that God was waiting on him there. God is waiting on you right here today. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. We're going to read verse number 15. And then this lesson is going to be yours. You see, waiting has never been an option for us. When it comes to waiting, all we can do is hope God gives us some wait time. Because if God says it's over, it's time to come, he's coming. The Bible tells us that when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back like what? The thief in the night. No matter how many burglar bars you have on your windows and doors, no matter how many ADTs, Brinks, security systems you have on your house, where they say you're fully covered or totally covered, nobody can get in. When that trumpet sounds, nothing's going to keep Jesus out. The Bible says the graves are even going to open. 6 feet of dirt and a slab of concrete won't keep Jesus from getting to you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promises.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promises.
As some men count slackness.
God is not unfaithful. When God promises something, he's going to carry it out. No matter how many sermons you hear about how good and how wonderful and how great he is, and God will not send anybody to hell. You can believe that if you want to. But the truth of the matter is, God said, I didn't prepare hell for you, But if that's what you choose, that's the place you choose to go, I will certainly send you there. If you buy a ticket for Chicago and you get on that plane to Chicago, where are you going to go? Chicago. If you get on that train to hell, where do you think you're going to go? It's not a sightseeing tour. You're not going to go by the gates of hell and say, oh, man, it's rough over there. It's going to be a one-stop trip. Read, brothers, amen.
But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish.
You hear that? God is waiting on us because he doesn't want us to perish. God has given you weight. Not because you deserve weight, because weight belongs to him. So he lent you a little bit of it. So you can choose to do the right thing. Read.
But that all should come to repentance.
God wants everyone to be saved. He wants us to repent. Quit what we normally do on our own. Drop down to verse number 15.
And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you.
God is waiting because he wants to give you salvation. That's all Peter's saying. In order to obtain that salvation, you got to quit spending time doing nothing. If you're a member of the Church of the Living God, you got to stop spending time doing nothing. I'm going to get personal. I'm going to step on some feet. So first of all, I'm going to step on my own. If you really want to go to heaven, why don't you come to Bible class? If you really want to go to heaven, why don't you come to church and be here when the man comes and stands up and open up? If you really want to go to heaven, why don't you come to evening service? Why don't you come to the men's and ladies' Bible classes? Why don't you come to Wednesday night service? When you come to church, why don't you sing? I guess I get off my foot now. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Paul tells you what you need to hear in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. How Jesus came into this world, showed us how to live, showed us how doing God's work is not work, but a joy. He died on the cross of Calvary, bled there, pierced in his side, spiked in his hands and his feet for me and you, was buried and rose again the third day. That's what Paul is telling you the gospel is. You got to believe it. Jesus says in John 8 and 24, he said, except you believe that I am he, you're going to die. And where I am, you can't come. He also says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That if you believe in him, you won't perish. He says also in John 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. You must repent. Jesus says in 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30, Luke says, at one point in time, God overlooked ignorance. Now, there's no excuse for ignorance. There's no excuse for waiting. God commands, demands, and requires everybody to repent. We must confess. Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will even confess you before God that you're mine. That's all right. That you're mine. Romans 10:10 tells us we got to confess. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, now, with every one of these, I give you what Jesus said. Not what Sam Wyatt said, but what Jesus said. I wanted to open with what Jesus said because you'll know it's from the Bible and not from Sam Wyatt. Jesus says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Romans 6:3-5, Paul says, baptism puts us into Christ. Peter tells us that baptism now does save us. Now, it's up to you. The choice is yours. The plan is laid out. You can either accept it or you can reject it. If you are a child of God and you've strayed away, you have been waiting on the right moment to start working in the church. You've been waiting on the right moment to say, I'm going to step up. You need to stop being inactive. You need to be like Jesus said and work while it's today. Because when you die, nobody can pray you into heaven. And now, if you think you're safe where you are, you better pray that when it's all over with, that you are safe. The only way you can be safe is by looking at the Bible. Paul says, don't wait. He says, behold, now, not tomorrow, not next week, not when I get 30, not when I get 40. He said, now is the accepted time. Now is the time of salvation. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have this evening at 6 o'clock. You may not have this evening at 3 o'clock. You may not even have 11:30. And it's 11:27 now. We're just a heartbeat away from eternity. If you want to respond to the invitation, you need to come, and you need to come now. There are so many ways that we can worship God. There are so many ways that people want us to believe that we can be saved. Don't take their word for it. Look and see if it's in the Bible. If it's not, you need to come on. At this time, I'm going to ask you to stand. There's an old song that we don't sing anymore, 581. We're going to sing it today because it ties into this lesson. Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. Why not? Why not? Why not? To him now, why not? Why not? Why not come to him now?